The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Hi there, it's Pat Kenny here. I'm excited to tell you that our new weekend morning show is almost upon us. And I want to thank you for your patience as we ensure that everything is just so. Every Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m, I'll be setting the agenda for your weekend, blending engaging guests with news and current affairs and a sprinkling of culture in the mix as well. And to keep up with everything on the show, all you have to do is keep following this very podcast feed, either on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, please enjoy some more from the deep archive of the last dozen years of weekday mornings. Now, is your driving test date approaching? Are you ready for it? Well, fear not, because driving instructor from Sunbury Driving School and author of Pass Your Driving Test, Kathleen Comerford, is on the line. Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, would someone feel lucky to get a date for the driving test? Because we heard much talk about how difficult it is to find a slot.
Yeah, Pat, I was just looking there this morning on the RSA portal, and they have an estimated waiting time, and it seems to vary quite a lot across the country. Dunleary, I was very surprised, it said September, and Castlebar said February. So that's quite a distance and in time between getting your test. Galway, April; Tallaght, July; Kilkenny, May. Now, they're saying it's estimated. So again, I don't know what that actually means, whether that means it brings it back. Or what I did notice is that retesters get back in the system within 6 to 8 weeks. So I'm not sure whether that actually clogs it up even further.
Okay. So if you fail your test, you can go again in 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks. And the statistics for 2021 was just over 142,000 did their driving test, and 55% passed.
55%. So, that shows a level of unpreparedness that I would think is unacceptable.
Yeah, well, actually, 55% goes right back to 2016, 20. It's actually the norm, really. It never really goes above, I think, 57 was the highest. So you're looking at like 70,000 going back into the system every time. So, you know, I think that's something that could be looked at.
It certainly could, because, I mean, if you got 57% passing the Leaving Cert and 43% failing, there'd be war. So it seems this is, they accept a different level of preparedness for this exam. I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the RSA need to maybe do a little bit more joined up thinking and things like that. I mean, it's fantastic that in 2011, the mandatory driving lessons came in, which meant you had to do 12 hours. But I think there's kind of a mindset now that you only do 12 hours, whereas pre that, everyone was driving and learning and practicing, and experience and practice had a huge value. But now the 12 hours seems to be just the actual amount that people, that when they're finished with me, they want to do their test. Whereas in Australia, you have to do mandatory lessons, but you also have to do mandatory practice of 120 hours before you can sit your test.
Yeah. Now, over there, do they have the same sort of L plate thing that you have to be driving with a qualified driver in order to, you know, put in those driving hours?
Yeah, the practice hours would be, the mandatory practice hours would be with a parent or a sponsor and that like. And they also have something else that they have in England and in Australia that the RSA talked about for a long time but didn't bring it in yet. It's called a hazard perception test. And like, that's something that's done on a computer. And what it does is it measures how well you can recognize potential dangers on the road. And a lot of people fail their driving test for that single thing, that they don't really have the skills.
So if you could get up to speed and pass that test before you occupied a tester's time, it would improve matters.
I believe there is there's more stepping stones between doing 12 hours with a driving instructor and sitting in a car with a tester. And like, I mean, to me, the driving test is the equivalent of like the master's or the doctorate in your academic thing, because you're never actually being tested again. And to get to that with just 12 hours of tuition. Like, as an instructor, I find it a huge challenge that I have to keep telling students that they need to do more driving. I would love if the RSA put together some kind of, a campaign or something to educate the public more that really the more you drive, the safer you are, the more likely you will pass your driving test.
So Kathleen, how do you know when you're ready?
Yeah, well, I would encourage people to, first of all, practice a lot. And, when your mom's, I had a girl recently and she said, oh, my mom is actually looking at her phone now and she's not holding on to the handrail at the top and she's not going for the brake in front of her. So, your parents reacting to your driving can be a good indicator.
Yeah, I remember it well, the white knuckle ride.
Yes, the white knuckle ride.
And then gradually loosen your grip on the handle and you realise, OK, I feel confident now.
Yeah, and that's road safety. The RSA stands for road safety. And I tell my students, if your parent sitting beside you doesn't feel safe, that might mean that you're doing things that are like making them feel that way. So, have a look at it. Talk to them about it. Are you driving the road or are you just driving the car? In the beginning, you're just trying to get to know how to drive the car. But the more you look at the road and think and plan ahead, then the safer the road is. So we're back to road safety. Yeah. A lot of people see the problem, but they don't see the solution. Like, all they see is the cyclist on the road, but they're not looking to see, is the other side of the road clear? Is it safe for me to overtake them? So like critical thinking, all of that comes with practice.
It does. And it becomes second nature after a while. You simply won't overtake a cyclist with the adequate amount of space if you see an oncoming car. You just don't do it. It's second nature. A couple of very interesting questions. Let me see. Whose car do you do it in? And the answer is your own or your borrowed car or your driving school car, I suppose.
Yeah. So if you're taxed and insured on your own family car, then you can absolutely do it in that car. Or if with your driving school, you can hire the car with them if they want to hire to you. Because again, I've had situations where somebody completes 12 hours with me and they want to hire my car to do the driving test. And I feel I have a duty of care to them and to the tester and to other road users not to actually hire the car.
Because you're not ready, sunshine. What happens if you don't have a traditional handbrake, just a button? How is that handled now in the test situation?
It's actually fine, but you're still asked to do the hill start, because there's different ways, different cars now. It's the accelerator that needs to do it, or it's the clutch. But actually the main test that you're being tested on in the hill start is, do you check your blind spot moving off and have you the perception of now is a safe gap in traffic?
Because you can have those automatic handbrakes where it just sits there quite nicely, even on the hill. And as soon as you start to accelerate, automatically releases the handbrake. And that's acceptable to the tester.
Yeah, but then will you remember your blind spot? Like, are you worried about the hill? Will you know? Like, a lot of people will just go and, you see it yourself all the times people pull out in front of you at a junction. You think, what was their perception here of time and space?
Okay, another question. Do you have to park the car for the test?
It depends on the test centre. So again, go and do a mock test with a driving instructor. You can reverse park the car when you get there. So that has nothing to do with the tester. And then you can come back in and drive into a parking space. So
you be asked in the middle of the test to park
in the
car?
Test. Oh, no, not at all. The manoeuvres you're asked to do is to reverse around a corner, your hill start and the turnabout on a road.
Okay, I'm just interested because obviously you don't want to park between two cars in your test because you might batter the two cars.
Yeah, well,
if you were no good.
Yeah, because I get a lot of people frustrated saying, oh, why do I have to reverse around a corner? I never would do that in real life. Well, I'm saying the curb is a car and the middle of the road is another car, and you have to prove your ability to reverse in between both of them without hitting either side.
I presume the tester will not ask you to conduct an illegal manoeuvre.
Oh, no, nothing.
You're not expected to say, hang on a second, I'm not doing that. That's against the law. They will not ask you to do an illegal manoeuvre.
No, and actually, I have international drivers, and in other countries, they will. So it is quite a challenge to convince them that the tester, if they ask you to turn right, they're not actually trying to trick you. You are allowed to turn right. So no, they don't do that here, thankfully, in Ireland.
Now, here's another question, which is going to become more and more common. You're driving a petrol car, say, but it's a hybrid, which effectively means it has an automatic box. So what kind of a driving license do you get then? I mean, do you get only automatics or do they give you the manual certificate?
Again, the RSA hasn't come out and clarified that yet, so it's probably something that they will in due course.
Yeah, I'd like to know, because, you know, if you buy a hybrid vehicle, the box is at least semi-automatic, you know? Anyway, it's about time they clarified that, isn't it?
It is. Well, there's a bit of clarification required in a few areas, and it would be great now if they did it, because I think, you know, there is the whole idea of, is our road deaths connected in any way to road safety and driver education, and could we have it in our schools, and could it just be something like the brain is the most important safety feature in your car, basically. So could we start training young brains early to know how to drive safely on the road?
Yeah. I wish they would be taught how to use the motorways, says Stephen in Kildare. They hog the middle lane, slowing down on the slip onto the motorway. Total lack of observation. That's obviously for qualified drivers who are not wearing their N's or their L's. Isn't it a kind of a deficit in the test that you pass your test and straight away you can be onto the motorway first time in your life?
Yeah, but like, again, that's another issue for the Road Safety Authority to address. I have international drivers and they would get lessons. I think I had a German man recently and five of his mandatory lessons were on motorways to learn how to drive properly on a motorway. So, like, it's a gap in education. And again, we could, like, I would encourage anyone driving on a motorway to please take the length of a bus, if not longer, before you decide to come back in onto the other lane, because loads of time they're just coming right in front of the bonnet of your car.
Enda says, if you were to do your driving test today, would you pass it? I believe so. I did 40 driving lessons, says Enda, before I passed. I'm now 49 years of age. I don't know when he passed, but anyway. Another one, I passed my driving test 2 years ago during the pandemic. The 12 hours and all the practice I was able to do really helped. I think we do it better than other countries. In certain states in America, they're so bad with their driving test, you just do it in a parking lot, and in some states you can hit a curb hard and still pass, where here it's a grade 3 fail, which I think is a good thing. It's about how competent you are on the road and not what you can do in the car. Also, I drive mostly automatics, but I prefer to have a proper handbrake and have everyone else manual, so says Peter in Dublin. While learning in New Zealand, I asked about reversing around the corner. The teacher's jaw hit the floor and said, never, ever, ever do that, or you could be done for dangerous driving. So there you are. Different ways of doing things in different countries.
Yeah, it's interesting. Lots of room for improvement, though, Pat.
Absolutely. Kathleen, thank you very much for joining us. Kathleen is the author of Pass Your Driving Test, and she is involved with the Sunbury Driving School. Kathleen Comfort, thank you very much for joining us.